You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, if you're in Columbus, Friday, August 7th, stop by Eddie George's Grill at 1636 North High Street and join us for a live radio broadcast of Cleveland Browns Daily from 1 to 3 before heading over to the Orange and Brown scrimmage at Ohio Stadium. Plus, here we're going to give away a pair of tickets to Luke Bryan down there at Eddie George's, so you got to be in person to win.
You must there be there with us.
With us, yes. At Eddie George's this Friday, a live edition of CBD from Columbus. We're very happy to have in studio with us now from NFL Network, Albert Breer joining us, took in practice here today. Albert, what were your impressions of Mike Pettine's second year here, day five of Browns training camp?
Well, it's a hell of a lot quieter.
Yeah, than last year, yes. You're lonely in the media.
Yeah,
here.
It's different. I think that's what they were looking for, you know, and I know they feel like they're deeper, you know, and really you can see kind of how they want to build the team with the way they drafted in April and the types of players they're bringing in. And even though I don't think you look at the offensive line as being, you know, a weak area for them, they still add players there. I think there's a very clear vision for the way that they're going to win. And I think it's the way they won early last year. And it's the way that, you know, Mike Pettine saw a team win early in New York, you know, and when they got to AFC championship games, it's not by asking the quarterback to be a superstar.
Right.
You know, it's about being a team that's going to progressively get better. And when the weather gets cold, playing a type of game that holds up. And so I think that's the thing that sticks out to you, you know, is that it's a lot quieter here. And I think it's an environment that type of team, if you're trying to build that kind of team, it's the environment that's conducive to building that kind of team.
Sure, absolutely. And I think I'm asking you your expectations for this team, and even more so, I truly feel in the way Mike Pettine builds his team, it starts and ends in this division. Yeah. And if you look at this football season, that five-game stretch of division opponents in the middle of the year, because they start with a very favorable schedule, you know, at the Jets, home against the Titans and Raiders, and then go west to San Diego, that if they can start fast and build confidence in what Mike Pettine's doing here, that stretch of division opponents is really going to make or break their season.
Yeah, and the division's tough. I mean, look, I don't think the AFC is all that strong when you put the whole of it together, but I mean, I think you could argue if you take the top five teams in the conference, three of them are in the division.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think Baltimore stands to be better, and they've done a fantastic job rebuilding on the fly. It's a totally different team than it was 2.5 years ago. A lot of people don't notice that, but they've got a bunch of 23, 24, 25-year-old guys that should be getting better. Steelers are almost the same deal. You know,
right.
Steelers, they've got a lot of young guys on defense. The old guard's gone, and the offense might be the best in the league. And the Bengals have been the most consistent team in the division in the last 4 years. So, you know, it's going to be difficult. I mean, can you score with Pittsburgh? You know, can you do anything against the Baltimore defense? You know, and those are the types of things that I think, you know, when you're here in camp, you're looking at. It's like, okay, how are we going to, you know, build the kind of offense that can hold up against Baltimore's defense? You know, and how are we going to be able to score with Pittsburgh when we play them? And do we have the all-around game to compete with Cincinnati, which is probably the most well-balanced team in the division? You know, and so I think they're built for the division, the type of division it is. I think it's going to be very, very hard to contend in the division because of what the other teams bring to the table. And, you know, I think that they have a better chance than they did last year to hold up in December. The question is, are they in that same spot when they get to December? Are they going to be 7-6 going into the stretch run again in a position to contend? I think it's tough to get there. You know, I think because of the strength of the division, it's very difficult to get there.
Talking with Albert Breer from the NFL Network here live in the Dog Bowl on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Anything catch your eye that maybe you came into camp with a preconceived notion about what this team was going to be or what a certain player was going to look like? Anything that stood out to you that may have, you know, changed your mind today?
No, I mean, I think that's, I mean, it's so hard with linemen in this environment. You know, it's just, it's hard when you're still, you haven't had pads on for, I mean, it's to me, it's like this stage of training camp. And that's really, like, to me, like, I think one of the main problems that most coaches have with the CBA and the way that things are, it's just, it's hard to build your offensive and defensive lines, you know, because of the, it's really hard to build depth there. So a team that's built this way, it's just, you know, I felt this way when I was with the Ravens last week. You know, it's just when a team sees its strength in those areas, it's really hard to see it at this stage, you know? And so I think they'll be strong in those areas. I think it's hard to see it in this environment. I think the secondary should be really good, everybody else, based on what they've done there. You know, and the questions are going to be the skill positions. And do you get Josh McCown from Chicago at the end when he was stepping in for Jay Cutler in 2013 and putting them in a position to compete for the division title? Or are you going to get the Josh McCown who was in a bad situation last year in Tampa and wound up losing his job? You know, I think that to me, like, a lot, so much of it revolves around that, because you don't need him to be a superstar.
No.
You don't need him to throw for 4,200 yards. You know, you need him to be a guy who is going to come up big in big spots, and then in other spots isn't going to blow the game. And can he be that? And, you know, I think if you can get the guy who was in Chicago 2 years ago, then you're in business.
And then I kind of want to expound on exactly where you went with this question is, if you do get that Josh McCown or something just slightly less than that, not having, you know, 13 touchdowns, one pick.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you get a 3,500, you know, yard passer, does he have the playmakers around him now? Because I don't think that, you know, everyone has that big deep threat. Well, everyone's got their star, but they're going to do it, you know, as a group.
The one thing that's nice about it, and and the quarterback that I've got the most background with is Brady. And here's what I tell you, man. This is the best example I can give you. In 2010, when they traded Randy Moss, and Brady got better, right? They traded Randy Moss. They brought in Deion Branch. And I think for 31 other teams in the league, that would have been a major downgrade, and you'd be in trouble, right?
Sure.
Right? They got better. Well, why'd they get better? Well, because Brady's at his best when he can play point guard. Right, and when he's using the whole field, and when he's got five guys who don't need the ball every time and can play away from the ball and all of that. And I think that that's the idea here. And that's why Josh McCown was the right fit, because they want a guy who can play point guard, you know. And so Brian Hartline and Dwayne Bowe, and, you know, I know they like Gabriel a lot, and Benjamin. I mean, can you get a guy who can play point guard with all those weapons, because you don't have the overwhelming guy. And he doesn't, I mean, look, he doesn't have Marshall or Jeffrey the way that he did in Chicago.
Right.
You know, so can he go out there and play point guard? I think that's the idea here, is the way you just find a way to make the defense defend the whole field, and you use kind of the balance as the strength. And it's not going to be easy, because you don't have overwhelming talent. And I'm not saying Josh McCown's going to be Tom Brady, but he's got to play that way.
Sure.
You know, he's got to play, and again, Tom Brady's a transcendent quarterback, but he's got to play that style of game.
As you pointed out in this division, why it's going to be so tough, you're talking about Super Bowl champion and Ben Roethlisberger, Super Bowl champion and Joe Flacco, and a guy who goes to the playoffs every year, and Andy Dalton. And when you look at the quarterback position, that's what you have to have in the NFL. Josh McCown is here to hopefully be a bridge to Johnny Manziel or maybe somebody else. What did you see from Johnny as he starts to enter his second year out there today?
I think they just want him to be one of the guys. I mean, that's the biggest thing. I think they just want him to blend into with the furniture. You know what I mean? Like, I think the idea is, like, let's put him in a position where he's not Johnny Manziel. Let's put him in a position where he's just a guy who's trying to do his best to take the next step as a pro and everything else. And it seems to me, at least, like they've done a good job keeping a lid on all of that stuff and, you know, all the other things that have kind of swirled around him and everything else, and just let him focus on being a better football player. You know, I mean, I can tell you that, you know, and I think this was the case last year, too. I think when he's in the building, he's okay.
You
know, I mean, that's not the question. You know, it's what's happening outside of the building, you know. And so, look, it's a tough transition going from the offense he played in college to playing in, you know, in a pro-style offense, you know. And so I just think that he's kind of going through that right now. And look, long term, right? I mean, this is what everybody said to me coming out when he, you know, you're doing your homework and everything else and talking to people who make the decisions on this type of thing. You know, the big thing is, you know, finding a way to where he's in a position where he does well enough with everything else that's going on Monday through Saturday, right? Where somebody's going to invest in him and say, I really think we can get something out of him, and then builds an offense around him. Because
you have to.
I don't think he's going to be – you're not going to put him into a traditional offense.
No.
And make him – like, you're not going to ask him to be Phillip Rivers, or you're not going to ask him to be Joe Flacco or Tom Brady or Peyton. You're not going to ask him to be one of those guys. If you do, he's going to fall on his face. So, to me, the first step for him is earning trust back and putting himself in a position where someone else, a coaching staff, is going to invest in him. And that's, to me, that's that's such an important first step that we can't even talk about the next step, which is building an offense around him until he gets through that first one.
Sure. Jimmy Haslam did a presser the other day, talked about the fact that he's not going to blow up what he has started here with Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine because of the result of this upcoming season, which is music to Cleveland Browns fans' ears because they're always anticipating who the next coach will be or when is it going to go bad and have to start all over. And just from your expertise, you know, building everything that they're building right now and keeping it together, do you think Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer are the guys that are going to get it done in this division, you know, in to grow this coming season, you know, and they'll have some rough patches in a great division, but then also too to be the long term fix of winning football here in Cleveland?
I think you got to let it play out. I mean, I think when you hire guys like that have never been in that position before, you're cutting off your nose to spite your face if you blow them out after 2 years. You just are. You know what? Totally. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, because then hire the 60-year-old guy who's been a head coach two other places if you're going to do it that way, right? If you're going to hire guys into the two most important positions in your football operation and not give them time to grow, then you're just wasting years, right? So, I mean, look, Pett had a fantastic reputation in Baltimore, in New York, and in Buffalo. Being a head coach is a different deal than being a defensive coordinator. Ray had a great reputation as an evaluator, and a lot of people in the league think really highly of him. You know, his work in Kansas City, obviously, and you know, coming over to Cleveland here for a year underneath him. I mean, it's a different deal being a general manager, though. So you don't really know, and you can't. I don't think you can judge it right away with guys who are doing it for the first time, especially a general manager. I mean, to me, it's the craziest thing to me, and I think this is why so many franchises are broken. You can't evaluate a general manager after a year or two.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean?
Sure.
No, you can't. You just, like, because you're going to evaluate a general manager on how he drafts. Like, how can you evaluate a general manager after one or two? You just can't do it because enough of the guys that he's brought in are not at the point where, you know, where you're going to be able to get a clean evaluation on them. So if you can't get a clean evaluation on the players the guy's bringing in, how can you evaluate the guy?
Sure.
You can't. So I think that you know, Jimmy, when he put these two guys in these positions, I think you have to – it's a way of saying, all right, we're investing in this now, and we're going to ride it out, and there are going to be bumps, and we're going to see if it works.
Do you believe that the Browns are in a better place now than they were 2 years ago when you look at this roster?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the environment here was messed up a couple of years ago, so I think that's the first step before you're even talking about who's playing for the team. I mean, look, the mix here was messed up. You know, and I mean, look, the guy who's the general manager here has been, you know, the reputation.
Sure.
You know, so it's been, I think getting that element out of the building and creating a better working environment was step one. You know, whether or not the team's better, I think that I think, you know, you take Josh Gordon out of the mix, who was, what, a 1,600-yard receiver two years ago. You're going to be worse for that. But I think that the middle of the roster is better. Now, you know, the question, as is going to be the question with a lot of, you know, with every general manager, every head coach, do you find the quarterback? You know, and do you have the core players? Do you have 7, 8, 9 guys who you draft, you put through the system, and you're willing to give second contracts to?
So I want to ask you this, because it's something we've talked about a little bit on this show, and I've gotten some people, Matt is not one of those people, but some of our callers have told me that I was completely insane. And I said, if I'm the general manager of a team like the Browns, where I feel like I've built a solid team around the quarterback, or let's say the Buffalo Bills, who right now are very good defensively, they bring in McCoy, they've got Watkins, you've got Percy Harvin. Not that the Colts would do this, but I would call up the Colts and be like, I'll give you, I started at 10, and I've gotten myself up to 20. I'll give you 20 first-round picks for Andrew Luck. Why not? I mean, in the reality of the best GMs,
20 first-round picks.
The best GMs hit on, what, 50 to 60% of their first-round picks?
That's crazy, though.
Don't you want to win a Super Bowl?
I don't know. That's a great question, though. What would you give up to get Luck?
Right.
And would they take it? Like, if you called the Colts right now, you're the Buffalo Bills with Rex Ryan, you call the Colts right now and you say, we'll give you 20 first-round picks for Andrew Luck.
That's an awesome question.
Do they
Isn't
say
it?
Yes?
Yeah, that's an awesome.
Because you figure you can go 3 of 5. You know, you're in contention for 3 of the next 5 or 6 Super Bowls.
At least
with Andrew Luck. But you're truly discounting
and what's
the next
the goal?
20 years? Because that's not true.
I don't. You still have the rest of your draft. I mean, what's
right.
the goal?
He
right?
is. I will say this.
But if you put him, let's say you put him on the Bills.
he's people want to compare him to other, don't compare him to anybody else because he is there's only one quarterback who I would think about that on. And like, I would probably Rodgers in that category, of course, but he's older.
Right.
So it's like, what's the window?
Right.
You know, with Luck, the window is 15 years.
Right.
Right.
You know, and I think it's the Colts have been rebuilding the last 3 years and he has them in the playoffs every year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he's just, year. I mean, to me, he's John Elway. He's Peyton Manning. He's that guy. So
if he goes on the Bills, let's take the
Bills.
If I'm
Buffalo, I'm probably making that phone call. Right?
They're the Super Bowl favorites to come out of the AFC if they get Andrew Luck on that team.
Absolutely,
the Colts can't say yes to that though.
Right,
but how? And think about that, but that in is, the NFL
funny,
world,
it is funny when you think about who's saying no there though. Like the team that's getting offered the 21st round picks is the one saying no.
And I think they would say
but
no.
If you're the Colts, I mean, who knows better than the Colts about. Just,
having it and not having it.
Being fortunate to be bad in the right at the
right
exact
time.
Right time.
Amazing. From
exact
to
right
luck.
Time. Like we are we bought them out in 1997 after we had Jim Harbaugh here before. They were in the AFC Championship game in 95. They bought them out in 97, right? 15 years of contention. Peyton Manning gets hurt the year Andrew Luck is coming out. I mean, it's just... It's stupid luck. You know what I mean?
Is.
Like it's just it's
stupid luck. Get it?
Yeah. I was trying not to. That's why I used fortunate before. I was trying not to use the word luck, but
I do wonder though. I wonder about that. If anybody would even.
That's
think.
A great question. I mean, like, where would the line be? Like, if you're a GM, I might steal that for a story idea later in the season. Like,
please do.
Where would the go ahead and ask
GMs?
Yeah. Where would the line be as far as what you'd be willing to offer? I mean, shoot, if your job's on the line. And you're going to get fired next year anyway or whatever.
Why wouldn't you? You're not going to be here.
They're not my picks.
And when you look at – let's look at the Browns, for example. If you look at, say, the last 10 first-round picks, if you start at 10, if 10's like a number that maybe the Colts would be interested
in. Would you take those guys and deal them for Andrew Luck? And obviously, if we do that,
you only have,
the answer's going to be yes. You know?
You only have Hayden, Thomas, and Mack who have really been anything for your team, and it hasn't brought you success.
All right, but take – all right, let's take New England because they're the champions, right? So you'd be talking about – 2014, it would be who'd they take? They took the kid from Florida, the defensive tackle. Why am I drawing a blank here?
Hold on, I'll put draft to your
13 is Hightower and Chandler Jones.
Yep.
12 is Nate Solder. 2011 was Nate Solder. So Hightower and Jones were the year before that. They didn't have a first round pick, but Jamie Collins was their first
easily
pick.
In 2014.
Easily, Dominique Easley. 2010, it's Devin McCourty.
Yep.
2009, so now we're talking about something else. 2008 is Gerard Mayo. 2007,
right.
2007 is Brandon Merriweather. 2006 is Lawrence Maroney. 2005 is Logan Mankin.
Yep.
So
Will Ferk, 2004.
Yeah, so you're talking about you can do that with certain teams because they haven't drafted very well, which is why you've had a zillion coaches and a zillion general managers here, right? Like if you're talking about say what the Ravens drafted or what the Patriots have drafted or what the, take the Seahawks last five first round picks, you know? So, I mean, it's like Earl Thomas and
Bruce
Irvin. And I mean, it's really, really good players, you know? So I think it's an interesting discussion because, you know, if you look at the Redskins and what they did to get RG3, they look terrible right now. Right. But if they were trading that haul up to get number one, no one would ever argue that they
could. No, if it was Andrew Luck, they'd probably be in the playoffs.
Right, which was why they couldn't get up to number one.
Exactly.
you know, I mean, that's...
And I wonder, though, at that time, what the price would have been.
At that time? Oof. Well, because, you know, the interesting thing about that is the Colts still had Peyton at the beginning of that offseason. So could you convince the Colts...
For five ones.
Like, hey, hang on to Peyton. I mean, they would have had cap problems now. Like, because that Peyton Manning had that huge number coming up. But could you have convinced the Colts that January when Peyton Manning was still on the roster and still hurt? Could you have convinced them, hey, we'll give you five first-round picks if you let us come up and get the first pick? I mean, maybe the Colts would have thought about that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I still don't – I mean, such a once-in-a-generation prospect, but it's an interesting question to ask. Yeah,
certainly fun. Well, Albert, we certainly appreciate the time. And
you got it.
Good having you out here at Browns Camp. You can follow him on Twitter, at Albert Breer, and catch him on the NFL Network all the time. We'll be back. We've got some winners from the Play the Draft contest. They'll be in studio with us still to come. We're going to hear from the head coach of the Browns, Mike Pettine, and Pro Bowl safety Dante Whitner, who both address the media following today's practice. We'll be back with more CBD on ESPN 850 right after this.